Today is June 7th, 2006, and we are visiting with Don Edelman. Mr. Edelman, tell us, were you born in Houston? How did you come to Houston, and when did you come to Houston? And we can start in there and then tackle how you became an artist, etc.
Well, I was born in Bowie, Texas, and moved to Amarillo shortly thereafter. And I grew up in Amarillo until I went away to the Navy, and then I went from there to Washington University in St. Louis for a Bachelor of Fine Arts. And I was awarded a fellowship, and I went to the University of Illinois, where I got my Master's in Fine Arts. From there, I've been quite a few places. My sister invited me to come out and stay with her in Denver, and so I moved out, went out there, and lived on the enlisted quarters where my sister was married to a sergeant in the Air Force. I lived in the basement out there for a year or two, and then they decided, well, I'd probably better move out, so I got this fabulous penthouse apartment on top of the Cornwall apartment, and worked there for a while doing odd jobs. I got a job in making picture frames several years.
Were you making art also at the same time?
Always making art. It may have been in the bedroom or wherever. There's always a continued pressing, trying to make more time available and get more artwork done. And that's been pretty much true in my
life,
yeah. I started out copying Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. That's where my... when my early beginning was when we'd go to church, my mother would give me a piece of paper and a pencil, and I learned that drawing was an approved activity and fun. So
and all children have sat and drawn in church.
So I was hooked.
Now, so when did you come to Houston or to Texas?
After I got out of the Navy, in 1945, 1946, I waited to get in Washington University. So I took an art course there and shorthand and a few other interesting things that I always felt was a challenge. Then I went to Washington University in St. Louis for 4 years. Went from there to the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, working on my master's degree. From there, I went to Denver at the invitation of my sister, and doing various things, working in the front, making picture frames was my time. In the process, I met a woman that was an instructor with Arthur Murray, and she says, why don't you come and join our class and do dancing on that? Well, that was a good idea. So I took the training classes for years. Taught dancing with Arthur Murray, and at that point I met one of my previous wives, and we decided to go to San Francisco. So off to San Francisco that we went, and I continued as a chance act. We hooked up with Arthur Murray and taught dancing some more, and in the process I met a guy that was selling encyclopedias, and he thought, come on, you know, do this. And so I ended up selling Encyclopedia Britannica. So again, this is always doing these things, trying to find time to...
It's a perfect
work. And so in 1956 or 7, my wife and I decided to go to San Francisco, and I'm not exactly sure why, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. So off to San Francisco we go, and it's kind of the same thing. I sold some encyclopedias, I taught some more dancing there, and I met up with another gentleman at the time who came up with this idea of selling menu guides for the restaurants and motels. And that was before everything was franchised. And so the motels that had problem that people say, well, where do we eat, you know, and they have to tell them. So we would collect a menus from all the restaurants around that were good.
Right.
Put their menu in the folder, and I got one of those inside, and put them in the motel, and so when people wanted to know where do we eat, I could show them, in fact, I could look through the menus and
try what they want.
Yeah, pretty good idea. So he was working one place, and I was working in another city, when he started writing checks on the account, you know, very freely, and so I went to the bank, and I stopped that, and we decided we'd come back to Texas on the way to New Orleans. We'd go to New Orleans. So we went to New Orleans and still selling encyclopedias.
Still teaching dancing?
No, that's, the dancing is all over at that point. So I did something kind of interesting. I actually went in New Orleans. I was going door to door and selling drawings of people.
You do a portrait? Or a portrait?
Portrait sketches and things. And I would do it, and then I'd have a kind of the place that you photograph them, I'd give them a print of the drawings. I didn't give them the real drawings. So I was working out pretty well. And in the process, still selling encyclopedias, of course, I met a man who said, hey, come back to Houston. Says, we got a business that's good over there and great, and come over here. So I came to Houston to sell encyclopedias. And in the process, I ran into Jerry Brower, who was the executive of Cameron, and he says, hey, you know, come to work for me. You like my style. So I went to work for Cameron, and I worked for them for 10 years.
How did he see your work? How did he?
Well, this didn't have anything to do with the art. The art was stuff I was doing.
Oh, I see.
Side. I see. Always in the bedroom, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
In the kitchen, you know.
But Cameron, you were doing photography, design work.
Yeah, industrial advertising.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I did that in about 1975, I believe it was. My newer wife, to-be, said, hey, you know, you're going to be an artist. So I quit Cameron, and I had a few accounts that I took care of, and that was the Beaumont Wellworks thing. I did that for them. Turned out to be a pretty nice brochure. Showed it to one of the men that worked there. He said, oh, that's a nice place. I like to work there.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. So ever since then, I've been plugging away.
Making art.
Yeah.
Here in Houston.
Houston.
So you weren't in Houston in the 50s or 60s. You were living other place, all these other places.
I was moving around.
So you came to Houston in 1975, kind of?
No, it's more like 63 or thereabouts. It was after that I left New Orleans, which was in the 60s.
So you were working for Cameron then and all that. What was Houston like when you came? How do you remember the city being?
Well, still, in all those times, you didn't make a living at art, which is a general feeling. You either taught art, you did industrial, commercial art, and there was a few lucky people that maybe lived in New York that were making a living at it. But pretty much the idea of making a living at art was kind of a wonderful idea to think about.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
but not real.
Yeah. And so, but as like I said, I always was pressing him doing paintings. So, sold some every now and then, and that's to keep me hooked. And it's just been a very gradual thing. People are going to know about me. My neighbors are buying things, and people are a total surprise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Cassetta people have been very good to me. They bought up a bunch of my art that I did in the 50s.
When you came to Houston, did you pursue any of the galleries or the museum shows or any of that?
I always enter competitive exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very fortunate in life, getting good places in awards or shows. But even since then, my contacts with other artists have been very rare.
Mm-hmm. And, how do the people find you?
They met a friend of mine who is an artist, and he referred them to me. That's how it comes.
And that's how you jumped in. Well, what else about your when you were a little boy, did you know you were an artist? You knew you were lying in church.
I don't think we even knew what an artist was at that time.
Where were you born?
In Bowie, Texas.
When you got your BFA and your MFA, what were you studying? Were you studying painting?
Painting, composition, color, the whole bit there. And what interesting was the faculty on Washington U had Paul Berlin, who was in the Armory Show. William Fett, who was sort of influenced by the Mexican type art, and Fred Conway, who was in his area, was quite well known. Max Beckman was there. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a class with him, but he was all present there with some influence. And Carl Holtby was there. So I had a very diverse faculty. I had abstract art, meticulous, traditional Renaissance type art, and of course a very good training in color. I even did some metallurgy work. So it was a very diverse kind of background, and then when I guess it was a very impressionable time in your life. So I feel very comfortable working in an abstract area as doing very realistic painting.
How did you happen to go there at school?
Well, I got one of these college guides with the offers of the courses, and so forth, and I narrowed it down to I think it's Temple University, and where they are in Pennsylvania somewhere, and Washington U, and I went to Washington U because it was the cheapest. The tuition, I think, was $262 a semester or something like that. Crazy.
Uh-huh.
But that was really, the courses looked almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I couldn't tell. And Washington U was a little cheaper. So I went there.
They had a great faculty.
And they were great faculty, and I never regretted for a minute going there. They were marvelous. If I'm not a success, it's not because they didn't try. they did.
Well, and then how did you decide after Washington to go to the University of Illinois?
I applied and got a fellowship there.
Uh-huh.
And they said it's the first academic fellowship that ever awarded in art, so I don't know what that means. Anyway.
Well, once you did, when you started making art full-time in the 70s then, but you didn't have any gallery representation in Houston. Did you have gallery representation anyplace else?
Well, no.
You kept all your work there?
It was in competitive shows, and I did have some galleries along the little creations gallery. I had some pieces and got some very nice commissions there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have worked with some art consultants. I have to give them certainly a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm.
And got me some excellent sales.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of word of mouth. And
different.
I never knew where my next painting or sale would be. Like people on both sides of me, neighbors who lived here, have bought my art. And I mean substantial pieces, not just.
Yeah. You are going to remember your time, particularly in Houston, because that's what I'm kind of focusing on.
Yeah, this is
to tell new artists, younger artists, any kind of emerging artists. Is there anything in particular from your experiences here that stands out?
Well, I say that the art market has changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And that they want to do art, you get with it and do it and do a lot of it. And just try it in different places. Find the gallery that likes what you're doing.
You think there's a lot more people looking at art?
There's a lot more people looking at art, and more importantly, for the artists, there are people who are buying art.
Mm-hmm. They understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the level of sophistication, appreciation, understanding, and everything else is ratcheted up some, don't you?
Yeah, entirely different.
And, of course, you have more people here now, too.
Yeah. But it's the feeling towards art is on a much higher level now.
Mm-hmm. How has your art changed over the years, with your works?
Keeps getting better.
Are you doing representational and abstract work today as you have before?
I'm working right now on a portrait of two young children.
Reflect for a minute about individuals or situations that have been helpful and been interesting or provoked you to embark on something maybe a little different or a little a new subject matter. And it doesn't have, those people don't have to be, or situations don't have to be from the 50s or 60s. You can segue right on in to 70s and 80s.
Well, I would say, I can just give you instances, you know.
Mm-hmm.
On the show that they had at the Hoops Epstein Gallery, Another Reality,
mm-hmm.
Bert Long actually used the bar in one of my paintings to show people kind of what he was talking about as other realities. And kind of brought me into that particular gallery in the sense that we had some paintings in it which made some sales myself. But that's a case of an artist helping another artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned Eric Sproge, who introduced cassette people to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where these people are very unselfish on their own part, but they just, think it's a good idea.
For readers or someone listening to this in the future, then, your counsel to a young artist sort of starting out in the 21st century would be what?
Tend to be enthusiastic. There's all kinds of possibilities. And probably being more connected with other artists is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tend to spend so much time by myself, that I feel that it's probably not a good thing to be too isolated. Try to get in there.
Get out and be with others.
Yeah, and pick up what information you can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of networking in the art business.
Yeah.
People, I think it's different, but fundamentally, there are many, many similarities to all kinds of businesses, I think.
I've enjoyed the various art groups that I'm a member of, Watercolor Society,
mm-hmm.
and the Visual Arts Association,
mm-hmm.
and that's been good for me.
Mm-hmm. Get out and look at.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing, I'm not very verbose. I put it all into the...
Your energy goes up on the canvas. That's a big communication tool. Well, go ahead.
I have one of my slogans is, you can never tell where you're going to get a good idea from or where you're going to find a good idea.
Uh-huh.
So being open to what's around you. And
always.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's probably the best advice.
You think it's harder to do as you get older?
No.
Think it's easier?
It is for me.
Easier to be more open?
Yeah. I like going to that now collection. I can't be complacent. Look at what great stuff other people are doing, But don't be too proud.
Right.
But It's the same thing. You go to a book about some artist, and there's like 26 pages of really nice reproductions.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't make it on 26 paintings. You've got a lot of work because of that. And they probably painted some bombs along the way.
Of course.
So don't be afraid to fail.